The Culture Proof Conference is coming to Bartlett, Tennessee. Man. That is just outside of the Almost Memphis here. Area. And we are super excited about it. If you're not registered, now is the time to get registered. As you look at the protests that are breaking out all across this country, you've got people barricading themselves inside classrooms. You've got people setting up encampments and feeling like they're entitled to do it. Mm. Well, joining us is Dr. Renton Rathbun. And Dr. Rathbun is the director of the Biblical Worldview, the Center for Biblical Worldview at Bob Jones University. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a secular professor, he encountered some of these kids who feel entitled, these kids who feel like they are only willing to defend their parents' religion in as much as it doesn't cost them anything. And he's going to be speaking to some of our young people at this conference. So if you've got an early adult, young adult, what do you call working class adult, maybe they're not yet married and don't have children, they're going to want to participate in this Culture Proof Conference. We're really excited that God has equipped us to respond to what is happening in the culture. So we hope that you'll go to the website cultureproof.net and learn more about the conference, see who's speaking, think about what some of those topics are and whether or not you and your family will benefit from this.
Yeah, and don't forget about our children's track. You know, we know that they are making the decisions right now at the age that they are in to follow the Lord. You know, their biblical worldview is being shaped. Their worldview is being shaped. And so we have a powerful children's track, teens track. You're not going to want to miss that. This is something for the whole family.
Yeah.
For the whole family. And we want to minister to the whole family. We understand that the world understands that children are needed to carry out what they desire for them to do. We know for the kingdom of God, God wants the children to be a part of what he's going to do in the earth as well. So go to cultureproof.net, cultureproof.net. Oh, man, now is the time to register. Now is the time to register. Registration will be ending soon. And so you want to make sure that you go to cultureproof.net and get your tickets for the Culture Proof Conference.
We believe it's going to be an encouraging time for you and hundreds of other believers who will be on site at Faith Baptist Church in July, July 18th through the 20th. We want to see you there. As my husband said, cultureproof.net. cultureproof.net. Get registered and tell a friend.
See, that's different from me. I didn't know Sam's had a book section. I didn't. I know they have electronics. I know they have, you know, I see the big TVs when I
go
in.
You're like, I know they got them samples up in there.
Cell phone, you know, samples, you know, yeah. I didn't know they had a book section. So next time, where is it?
Thanks for checking out Culture Proof. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Will.
And it is time for the Friday News Haul, where we take a look at some stories that grabbed my attention that I think, you know, are worth talking about. And I just kind of want to throw them out at you. But it's also a way for us to kind of return to a lighter podcast on Fridays, something that we have historically done, but we kind of got away from. And we floated out a Friday News Haul, and the response was good.
Yeah,
people said,
liked it.
Hey, they, you know, they kind of missed us being a little bit lighter.
Well,
I mean, forgive us because like the world's on fire. No, I'm kidding. I'm just, the world's not on fire yet. But, you know, I do think sometimes you can get caught up so much in the news stories and like what's going on that you do forget that, you know, there are some lighter stories. Mm-hmm. Now, when I say lighter stories, I don't mean that they're not serious. Okay.
Right,
but
right.
They are a little bit, you know, comical.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Some of
so,
them.
Oh man, I just remembered one that I forgot to load on deck. So I'm going to save that one. This one I have to do for you. I forgot to load it. But we need to talk about it. So
okay.
I will save that one for last.
Okay.
Because it's important.
All right. Well.
But then also we've got to announce the winner of the Giant Leaf from Can Do Kids and Can Do Films. Our brother Davey Liu blessed us with a book to give away to our podcast listeners, to our email subscribers. And we put all of your emails, or actually we did not, our brother Josh did, put all of your emails into a random selector to make sure that it was as fair as possible.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Will would have wanted to give it to his cousin. So we can't have that, you know. And so the winner of the giant leaf is Roman. Congratulations to Roman. And you don't need to do anything. We're going to email you and get some mailing information, and we're going to send that book right out to you, just as a way to say thank you for signing up to receive our newsletter and stay connected to us in that way. So anyway, if you're not a part of our if you are not a part of our email newsletter family, then you can go to cultureproof.net and you can sign up for the newsletter there. We I want to say we pride ourselves, but it seems sinful. but we do take great care not to send you things all the time.
Right.
But there are times that we want to let you know what's going on. And this was one of those times. And it just so happens that attached to knowing what was going on was an opportunity to win a book that I think, you know, Davy Liu and the Ken Do Kids and Ken Do Films, they are set to rival Disney. You know, he said, and if you didn't hear that podcast episode, go back and check that one out. It's from the Lion King to the King of Kings.
Yeah.
Oh, fascinating. But I think that they, you know, I think that Davy Liu and those who are working with him, I think by God's grace, they can do what,
he can do it.
They can do it. they can do what God is calling them to do.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. And we need people like that. I think that's a answer to the things we, you know, talk about as far as being that not being things for children to watch that would be wholesome, and how, you know, there's an agenda and a takeover. Well, you have Brother Davy Liu who's saying, okay, well, I have a talent, ability, and skill that I want to, you know, lend to the Lord, help him to reach the children. Yeah. And so he's using his gift.
Yeah.
You know, so that's awesome. We need that in every arena.
That's
really.
Right. That's we right. Do. So. And so now you will get a copy of the book, The Giant Leaf. Roman will, because he's a part of our email newsletter. I also want to say at this moment, before we continue, we have a post over on our Facebook page, and I was recently in like a Sam's. Well, it was a Sam's. So
it was like a Sam's.
It was like a Sam's,
Costco?
You know.
No, we don't have that.
Oh, no, we have a Sam's. And so I was in a Sam's, and I just, you know, sometimes I will peruse the book section because admittedly, I just can't pass up looking at books. Like I just, I'm always curious to see like, what are people writing, and I don't know what's out there.
See, that's,
you know,
different from me. I didn't know Sam's had a book section. I didn't. Oh. I know they have electronics. I know they have, you know, I see the big TVs when I
you're
go
like,
in.
You're like, I know they got them samples up in
cell
there.
Phone,
you know,
samples, you know, yeah. I didn't know they had a book section. So next time, where is it? Where is it located? I'm serious. I'm in my mind, I'm okay. Like, I'm going through Sam's right now. I'm like, where's the book section?
Wow.
What?
Now, let me throw this out at you, because this may also be one of those things. There's a book section. I say a book section. It's really like a book table and some racks. It's not like a, it's not like a Barnes & Noble, but it's right in front of the clothing section. Do you know where that section is?
I know where that section is.
Okay, okay, okay. So then,
In my mind, in front of the clothes, I see candy aisle. Like candies.
Oh yeah. Okay. Great. So just take a
books.
Few steps back.
Wow.
Yeah. You're in the right section. Okay. Yeah. Just take a few steps back. Now you're not going to be able to miss it the next time you're inside Sam's.
Okay.
Question, because we're talking about this. Well, yeah. Okay. But this you do spark another question by mentioning the fact that you didn't.
I do read
there
though.
Was, of course
I
you
read.
Do. You read.
But it's
you
just,
recommend books to us.
I never saw
you do
book
read.
Section.
You read.
Sam's. Okay.
Sam's is not known for books, so it is okay that you and I will say this too. I think this is a part of your personality that when you go.
Oh yeah, I'm on a mission.
You're going to get what you
I already have
going
on
to
my
get.
Mind. What I'm going to get,
yeah,
and get that and get out.
Yeah, and I think that has served our family so well. I get us into trouble because I know what I'm going to get, but then I'm like, let me just check it out and see what kind of books they have. Anyway, so I was recently in Sam's with our two daughters, and of course, we walked over to the book section. We do this pretty often just to see what's over on the table. And I was looking through and I noticed all of these books about, you know, Taylor Swift. But the thing that was fascinating to me is that the books were targeted at young girls. Like there was like a, you know, little golden book kind of book about Taylor Swift. And there's like three or four books in Sam's that, you know, are sort of like these unauthorized Taylor Swift biographies. And so, you know, I've tried to stay out of the Taylor Swift discussion because I'm not a fan of hers, right, and I've not historically consumed her music. So I don't know enough. Well, I do know enough to reject the wickedness that is in her music. But, you know, I don't have like this, you know, passionate conviction of like, let me make sure people are not listening to Taylor Swift. I feel like, yeah, man, don't you have enough evidence to see what she's presenting? But, you know, alas, people don't. So anyway, as I was looking at these books,
well,
the thing
they do
that,
and they don't care.
That's anyway. It. I think that's it. Right. Yeah. Because we do in this country have celebrated idols.
Yes.
That are untouchable.
Yes.
Right. So I was looking at these books that, in my opinion, as I looked at them, they were all directed at young girls. Mm. And I thought, moms, like, what's going, like, why is this even a debate? You know, I saw and read some of the discussion happening around her latest, you know, project and whether or not we can listen to it because it's blasphemous and all of these things. And I'm like, man, is this really still a discussion? So what I want to say is if you go and check out our Facebook page, I posted a series of pictures that I snapped while I was inside Sam's of these books. And then with sort of, I guess, my position on whether or not we should be allowing our young girls to see Taylor Swift as some sort of, you know, role model, mm-hmm, that she should be looked up to, that her music should be consumed. I include in that post just a snippet from one of the songs off of this latest project.
Yeah.
Just go and check out that Facebook page and you'll see the post, you'll see the books. And anyway, I just, you know, that's my contribution to, yeah, what do we do, or how do we solve a problem like Taylor?
Right. You know, the thing is, it's not like such a care for, you know, these artists and be like, you know, but the thing is the care for the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And, you know, and almost like a wake up call to us as parents, like, hey, are we just allowing,
yeah,
these people to have an audience, you know, with our children?
Which,
you know,
leads, it shapes them.
It shapes them, you know. And so the thing is, it's amazing that I remember we talked about a piece that was written of someone going to one of her concerts.
It was on the Gospel Coalition's website.
Yeah, and being
website.
So like enamored. Yeah. Is this the same album, The Eras? Or
no,
or
no,
it
this
one?
Is a okay. different one. Yeah.
Man, you know, yeah, it's amazing. I think the same thing is done like with a Beyonce.
Oh, for sure.
The same thing. Look.
Great point.
Christians jumped, even jumped on. Now, this was a little tricky, but they jumped on a Kanye West and was like, oh, he's a Christian now. And we would tell people, hey, let's just
watch,
wait
and see.
Let's just wait. Let's give time.
Watch and see.
Don't lay hands on any man suddenly. Like,
and
just
now,
you know, and now
his latest business, yeah, venture.
Right.
Just look it up. I mean, what he is attempting to do, you know, and I, yeah, yeah, anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah,
the
that's
spiral.
That post, you know, a lot of people, I think, are resonating with it.
Yeah.
But man, we have to not be so dull.
Yeah. Oh, you know, man, that's a good way to describe it. Like, I think that's what it is. It's a dullness.
There's a dullness when it comes, especially to like entertainers and things like that. People that we see as popular, mm-hmm, you know, we can be enamored by them,
yeah,
when they are just throwing out filth, you,
yeah,
know? And so,
and the case, yeah, that I make for this in the Facebook post, and, you know, tell me what you think about it. But I remember, you know, growing up in the 90s, I remember the warning that was issued to young Black boys, like, you know, consuming this gangster rap and how, you know, it's destroying our communities. And, you know, because we said, well, the music does have an effect on the people listening to it. Yeah. So we didn't want our young Black boys growing up to emulate this like gang lifestyle, you know, denigrating women, normalizing violence,
right,
you know, low achievement, and that's success, you know, like hood rich life.
Right.
And so we, like, everybody was like, no, you shouldn't be listening to that. That is trash. That is garbage. We want to stand guard between our kids and that kind of music. But I feel like when it comes to a person like Taylor Swift, there is this thought that, man, she's all America.
Yeah.
Like, she,
yeah,
is, she's as all American as apple pie. And so we should just entrust our kids to her.
Right.
And I'm going, how in the world? Like, it just makes no sense to me.
She's been presented in a way that's been palatable as far as the pictures I've seen. Some of the pictures I've seen, especially early on, it was like this,
innocent.
Don't know. Like now it's different, but you know, it's like innocent, you know, like she's like the girl next door or whatever, you know, type deal. And I think so the enemy is able to slide in, you know, under that guy. Like, think about like Miley Cyrus, you know, and how Hannah Montana, like this is, you know, or the other girl, I forgot, JoJo.
Oh, JoJo Siwa. Oh, you my know, goodness. I saw her in headlines last few weeks. Yeah. She's got this whole new like remade image. The girl went from bows to like, I don't know what you would call this. It's like a dark, just sort of like almost sadistic look that she's kind of trying to quote unquote reinvent herself. It's amazing to me. I see a consistency in the type of spirals that happen. It's like you have these kids that their parents have these dreams of them making it, and their parents just sort of like turn them out to Hollywood. You know, and then they start to succeed, quote unquote, by the world's definition. And then before long, you know, they are inebriated by their success. They will do whatever they can to keep that success and to keep that position in the public eye. And for JoJo Siwa, there was this, you know, I want you to know I'm so immersed in this culture. I am now a part of the LGBTQ plus community. So that becomes my identity. Mm-hmm. And then once that sort of loses its interest, so like people are not checking for that anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not making its rounds. Mm-hmm. Now she's gone into sort of like the, you know, I don't know, Metallica. Like, I don't know what that even is.
There's a theme there.
It's like Kiss.
You know, Lil Nas X.
Oh, man.
And he was another one that parents were like, oh, that's, we love this song. And kids singing it at school, you know, and then he flipped the script and like, you know, and he's like, y'all are one stupid. Like, and so the thing is, you know, I think with gangster rap, the presentation of it from the onset was like you saw.
That's
so
true.
So it wasn't, it, you know, so that was a more of an overt, like.
There wasn't a bait and switch.
Yeah. But with this, it's like, oh, you know, Taylor Swift, you know, all American girl. And then they get you and it's like, ah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because when you had the gangster rap of the 90s, the late 80s and the 90s, you know, they didn't cover up that they wanted to drive through your hood and shoot up your neighborhood. Like, you know, I'm sorry. It's not funny. But when you think about some of the music and like what was in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even, you know, like the names of the groups like NWA, like, I mean, you know, like just, I don't know. Anyway.
And then you had the movies that came out, the Menace to Society, Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
That even, you know, made it even more of a. So it's like, that was overt. These things have been kind of subtle. And then Christians have, you know, latched on. And then they turn that thing around. And it's like, oh, I thought she was a Christian at first.
That's a good point.
You know, stuff like that. The parents, I thought they were, you know, it's just, man, we have to be more discerning. That's it. We have to be more discerning and watchful and not just latch on to certain things.
Yeah. And I think, and I'll say this, and it's interesting, we didn't plan to talk so much about this, but you know, I'm glad that we are. Cause I think part of the deception is that if you have a person that you can say, this person is Christian, then we almost use that as a justification to accept anything that comes from him or her. So like Taylor Swift would have identified herself, and maybe to some extent, she still does identify herself as a Christian. And so coming out of the gate, you know, you've got a lot of the parents who were the girls listening to her music. You know what I mean? And so now they have children.
Right.
And they're entrusting their children to Taylor Swift because they are operating off of this conviction that, man, she's Christian and she's not going to do anything really evil. Yeah, she's had a few heartbreaks and, you know, which again, this whole idea of like normalizing, you know, serial monogamy, like, you know, I'm committed to this person for now.
Right.
I'm committed to this person.
Practicing
for now.
Divorce, you know, like.
I don't understand why we do it, but it is normal. And anyway, there's a post on Facebook. If you go to the Culture Proof Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. Check it out.
Okay, so shall we get on to some news that we should talk about? So we did not talk about the passing of Mandisa. And this is something that, man, you know, really hit me hard. We were in DFW area and, you know, I learned this. My sister sent me a text message and it was just really shocking. Mandisa was 47 years old. She was discovered in her home on April the 18th. And man, I think just for so many people, you know, there was great concern. And part of the concern was, you know, she had been very open about her struggles with suicide and, you know, just being in a dark place mm-hmm. with the passing of a friend that she was really praying for and asking the Lord to heal. And so I think a lot of people thought, man, did she take her own life?
Yeah.
And we still don't have, like, you know, an autopsy report.
Right.
So we're not going to get that for a while. But at a memorial service or at a like kind of a funeral type service, mm. her dad said that he didn't believe that she had taken her life. And mm. he talked about how she was found, you know, and he said that she had been battling COVID. And so she was weak. Mm. And he thinks that, you know, she just didn't recover from that. Mm. She was going to get out of bed. He believes that she fell. Her cell phone was on the opposite side of the bed that she was exiting. And he thinks that she just could not call for help. Mm. And so anyway, I don't know. It's really sad. Mandisa just was such an incredible singer. Mm-hmm. And she was so honest and refreshing, right? Yeah. Speaking of honesty, my forever connection to her is pretending. Sorry.
I remember that.
Pretending to be her on a cruise that we were on for media and music. With, you know, Third Day and Mandisa and some other singers. And there was one person who was on the cruise. This is sad. Anyway, and this person, you know, looked at me and said, Mandisa. And I was like, no, but wait. But like, I mean, you know. And so then it became this this running thing, mm. like even running into some of her backup singers.
Yeah. No, that was funny.
Anyway, it was bad. But she was that kind of artist, right? Yeah. She was worth imitating. So anyway, that was sad. Did you have any thoughts about the passing of Mandisa?
Yeah, it was sad. I was surprised. I was like, man, was she sick? Because I haven't followed her closely to know, you know, what's going on. Because I know they do lives, artists do lives and different things. But it was a surprise. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a surprise. And you know, I thought, I was like, man, I hope she didn't take her life. Yeah. You know, and I know we don't know everything, but man, you know, yeah, it was just sad. I know she had battled with that. And, mm-hmm. you know, man, just remember her on American Idol.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and the her confronting Simon.
Yes.
Because he made a terrible, you know,
comment. Oh, my goodness. He was horrible to her. And she showed Christian character.
And she did. And so, yeah, it was just surprising. And so, yeah, I'm curious to see what the official word is.
Yeah, American Idol did a tribute to Mandisa with a few singers singing Shackles.
You really?
Know, like she was kind of like, she brought Shackles to American Idol. So that's cool. You know, I think we need to be able to mourn the loss of a member of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hope that she was not in a dark place, you know, at the time of her passing, because I do know that her desire was to be married. Mm-hmm. I saw some of the lives that she had done, like kind of right before her passing. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think there was a little bit of grief around that ongoingly, but anyway, my hope and my confidence is in the sufficiency of the cross. And that for those of us who put our hope in the Lord Jesus, that we'll be with him forever.
Amen.
And she was very public and very out front about the fact that she had put her hope in the Lord Jesus and believed in the sufficiency of what he did. And so it's that hope that we cling to, even in our dark moments. Mm. I think in our dark moments, we realize that, you know, Jesus is holding on to us.
Yeah.
So yes, we are holding on, but when our grip weakens because of life and the enemy beating us down, you know, that's when we realize that he is holding us, that nothing is going to separate us from him because of the sufficiency of what he's done.
Amen. Amen. So Mariah, why the Culture Proof Teens track?
Because it's important for us as teenagers to have robust teaching as well. It's important for us to have teaching that's going to help equip us in our faith and teaching that's going to help us to withstand the enemy's attacks in our culture.
Yeah, so you've been a part of the Teens Track in our other conferences for a few years. What can someone expect if they come to be a part of the Teens Track?
You can expect sound teaching, and you can expect tough questions to be answered, and for it to be a safe place where you can ask those questions and get answers and then get further conversation if you need more explanation. If you're really struggling with a topic, you can get in-depth conversation, and it's just a really nice place to be able to have conversations with some of the group leaders. And everyone is really nice and caring, and it's like you have a mini family within the classroom, so I highly recommend it.
What's your favorite aspect of the conference?
I really like fellowshipping. I'm a social butterfly. I like being around people, and so I really like being among people in my peer group and being challenged in different ways and hearing different people's worldview and opinions and having open conversation where we're not afraid to say different things. We're all pretty bold, and so everyone has their thoughts and opinions, and everyone's going to speak their mind and say what they have to say. And it's really nice to hear that challenged or agreed with, and to hear the feedback from others saying that they've learned a lot and that they're encouraged by being around other strong Christians. It's just really nice.
So, hate to put you on the spot, but do you happen to have a favorite teacher or...
Miss Amy Warren, for sure. Like, she's the best. She like flocks us all together, and some of us can get pretty rowdy, and she's always keeping us together and getting our attention because, you know, we do get distracted. Mm-hmm. And so she's just great. It's so fun. Second mom, love her.
All right, the Culture Proof Conference happening at Faith Baptist Church, July 18th through the 20th. Go to cultureproof.net to get more detail.
All right, so moving on from Mandisa.
Okay.
This one. So I talked about these unqualified people performing, you know, cosmetic surgeries in one of our news halls.
Yeah.
Now let's go to the mouth. Okay.
Okay.
So this story grabbed my attention because, again, I just think, what are people thinking? You know, like, why? Why are people doing these things?
Yeah.
So this headline, dentists horrified by people carving off tooth enamel at home.
What?
Okay. This is not related. I'm going to get into this story in just a second, but I want to say thank you to our premier sponsors. BJU Press Homeschool. I feel like our family over at BJU Press Homeschool, like, wait a minute, how are you making that?
That's no connection there.
It's not related at all. But it just entered my mind that I wanted to say thank you to our premier sponsors who helped make this podcast possible.
Yes.
Thank you so much to BJU Press Homeschool that provides curriculum that will center Christ in everything. And I think that's so important when we look at, certainly, and this is on everybody's mind these days, the protests that are happening all across this country. Mm. You know, we wonder how we've gotten here. Of course, we have our observations that we can make,
right,
that our kids have been indoctrinated. They have been told the ways that they are to engage in culture. They have been given their conviction and what they should align with. And really, the horse has been out of the barn for a long time.
Mm.
And we are grateful for the opportunity and responding to the call to disciple and educate our kids at home. BJU Press Homeschool helps us do that. And we are convinced that they can help you as well. Check out our friends at bjupresshomeschool.com. That's bjupresshomeschool.com, the premier sponsors of the Culture Proof podcast. We're so grateful for their partnership. Okay, back to this news headline. Again, not related. So here is the article that grabbed my attention.
Okay.
A grisly new trend is emerging on TikTok with I know. Self-proclaimed veneer technicians performing illegal dental surgery on unsuspecting clients. The practice was met with horror and outrage by the dentistry community, with experts warning of significant danger. Worse yet, scammers are giving out fake certificates. Those who they say they've completed just 2 days of training. Okay. So not only are they duping these people, but you've got other scammers who are duping the technicians. Okay. In other words, they are giving them certificates and saying, you're now qualified to do this.
Mm.
And so then the scammers scam other people. Okay.
Oh,
so according to those who know what they're talking about, a cosmetic dentist by the name of Keshin Gadia said, quote, these people are literally going out there and destroying mouths.
Something is wrong here.
Man.
I can understand, you know, we live in such a superficial world. Okay. I can understand people feeling like, man, if I could just get me some quick veneers, you know, but my question is this, if you get a 2-day certificate to say that you are now a quote unquote veneer technician, which according to dental experts, they say there's no such thing, right? where are you doing this? Like, are you just showing up at people's houses? Are you, you know, meeting them at the library? Like, are you in the Sam's book section? I don't know where you are when you are filing down people's teeth. That's what they are doing. They are filing down people's teeth and saying that they are covering their teeth with these veneers, which the experts say, man, you are setting them up for infection to house bacteria. And the teeth are not like, it's not like fingernails, right? It's not like hair. Mm-hmm. Like, you are doing damage that you cannot repair, right? You're not going to be able to replace good enamel on the teeth, right? And so this is what they're doing. And I look at this and I just go, man, this is just the type of society that we live in. Yeah,
that's, you know, I'm like, okay, that's on the people.
Yeah.
Like, for dentistry, you have to go to a dentist, like, like, they you can't just trust, like, okay, I'm a veneer surgeon or whatever technician. Like, man, I think that's on the people to be like, that's not real, or have some type of feeling about going to that person.
Like,
that's
not a dentist. If you slide me your business card and your business card is written in crayon,
right?
I don't believe you. I don't believe you. And I'm not giving you access to my mouth. Like, I think if you're like, yeah, you know, we want to do this veneer procedure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you tell me, just go ahead and lay down on the couch. Like, I don't understand.
Dead
like,
giveaway. Charles Sackett. Dead giveaway.
You know, that to me is an indication that we are not in a professional setting.
Right.
You know, and by the way, these quote unquote veneer technicians are making like $5,000 a week. Ooh. By doing that, no.
Oh, okay.
What? Wait. I just said, wait, ooh. What happened? Whoa. You got a sound for that? Like, what's what's going
that
on?
That was the sound. Ooh.
But it's... you think it... okay. You thinking about... I'm hold on. You thinking about enrolling in veneer tech school?
I didn't
school?
Say that. I'm you know, wow.
Yo, next week's podcast will... will be hosted solo, as Will the Great will not be available. He'll be at VT. What's
training.
VT? Veneer Tech. He's going.
Veneer Tech.
He's going to. Hey. Anyway, this is sad, but I think again it goes back to the cosmetic surgery article that we talked about.
Yep.
Because our culture is, you know.
So is it that
superficial?
Yeah. So what would make people not go to a known professional?
That's a great question.
Like in the cosmetic thing, mm-hmm. and also in this, like, what are they presenting themselves as cheaper, or like what's the?
That's a great question. So this is for people. This is preying on people who do not have insurance. So you don't have dental insurance.
That's it.
And you can just straight pay out of pocket, right? Mm. It's being popularized on TikTok. So people are watching this and they're thinking, oh, I can do that. Mm-hmm. Man, there was also a sort of a viral trend. And I don't understand the weakness in the way people think that they're doing these things. But there was a viral trend called basement braces, where you had people doing these, like, you know, procedures that they were not qualified to do, and, you know, calling it braces, and, you know, they're going to repair people's teeth. Listen, I understand that, you know, you could make the case that there are people who would like to have these procedures done. They don't have insurance, but I just don't know how you could be in such a desperate situation where you feel like, you know, I'm just going to do it. You know, I'm just going to do it. I don't know. So, so this is, there are three parties involved. So you've got the scammers who say they are going to quote unquote certify the technicians to do the veneers. Okay. They're making money. Then you've got the technicians, and let's put technicians in quotes. Okay. Because this is like Rollo Nim.
Oh man. Wow.
Putting covers over people's teeth. You know, did I say teeth? I meant teeth, right? Okay. Putting covers over people. Sorry. Rollo's like, that's what you get for making fun of me. So you've got the you know, fake, you know, credentialers, right? Is that what you call
it? It's a whole organization.
It's horrible. Like
it's organized
it's a
crime.
Ring. It's a ring. It's a teeth ring. Oh, oh wow. It's a teething ring.
It's a teething ring.
Every baby's like, don't mock teething rings.
Those things are legit. Okay.
Anyway, but yeah, but then you've got the people who are weak enough to go and get the procedures done.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
Yeah. When you gave the reason, that's sad to me.
Yeah.
The insurance reason, you know, because like, because people may go, you know, to desperate measures to get certain things done and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But man, nah, you got to go to a professional.
But like, here's my question though. And this is where we need to ask our friend Sam, because our friend is a dentist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing that comes to my mind, and I don't want to be insensitive here, but the thing that comes to my mind, and so maybe there's something I don't know about dentistry, and I'm totally open to that. I really am. Veneers. Isn't that a cosmetic procedure? Like, isn't that not like, that's not like a root canal. That's not like, you know, you've got cavities or like there's something going on. Your tooth is starting to rot out of your mouth. So to me, it seems like, okay, yes, there is a compassionate part where you're going to say people don't have insurance.
But this is not something you need.
But like, isn't that cosmetic? Like braces sometimes, not in all cases, you know, sometimes braces are cosmetic. There are times when they're not optional. Like if the teeth are hitting in such a way that they start to wear the top and bottom set down.
Right.
Yes, I understand that. But again, largely, I think we're talking about a cosmetic preference.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to find my compassion for
this.
You're
right about that.
You know?
If that's the case, you know, yes, definitely. It's like the cosmetic thing, cosmetic surgery. It's like, that's not a needed thing for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and you're going to these shiesty people to get this done.
Yeah.
You know, and, or in that case, going to pediatricians, like to get.
To get, other cosmetic things.
But anyway,
done.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think it plays to, you know, the vanity of our culture.
Yeah.
And I think because our culture is so driven by social media, like everybody's seeing everybody's face in ways that we never were before. Mm. And so everybody feels like they've got to have this perfectly presented appearance. Mm. And I think it also brings out the vultures, you know, because you've got vulnerable. Now, just think about this in like the animal kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You've got vulnerable, hurting people that the vultures can see from a long way off and they pounce on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they swoop in to get them. And I think that's what these veneer technicians are doing. You know, I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't understand, but I don't have to understand. Okay. This story. Now, again, this is really sad. So I want to acknowledge that it is sad. Okay. But it takes place in Louisiana, our home state.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I do also want to say, I think I know who did this.
Okay.
Because this story is out of Louisiana, it has got the fingerprints of two individuals all over it. And I want to see if you can guess.
Okay. What? All right.
I'm sorry. Because I want to be sober, but at the same time, I can't pretend not to know what I know when we talk about Louisiana.
Okay.
All right. So here we go. This is the story from NBC News, all right, last one for our news haul. A dolphin is dead after being repeatedly shot in Louisiana.
Mm.
There's a $20,000 reward offered for info on this. Okay, that's
a dolphin.
That's the head.
I didn't know they had dolphins in Louisiana.
Neither did I. I kept reading the story. I was like, wait a minute, where are we? Florida? No,
right.
Louisiana. So the juvenile bottlenose dolphin was found on West Mays Beach in Cameron Parish with bullets lodged. Now, this is, man, this is so graphic, right? Bullets lodged in its brain, its spinal cord, and its heart. So there is a $20,000 reward that is being offered for information leading to whoever was responsible for fatally shooting a bottlenose dolphin on a Louisiana beach. Now, I think I know who did this, and I don't think they meant any harm. Two names.
I know who they are.
Go ahead.
Boudreaux and Thibodeau.
Those jokers thought that they were fishing. I guarantee you they didn't know that it was a bottlenose dolphin.
Man.
I can see it play out in my mind.
That's a big one right there. What is that?
Oh, I tell you them. Tima. Oh, get the rice. Get the rice. Man, we're going to put some gravy on them jokers. Hey, Boudreaux, what you think we're going to... Wait, I ain't got no fishing pole strong enough. Don't worry about it, Thibodeau. I tell you, we're going to go down there. I got myself a gun. Oh, Boudreaux, we never used no gun before. Well, we going to use one today? Go shoot him.
Man,
start wow. Did you start the race? I told you start the race. Anyway, when I read this story, man. I thought, first of all, it was very sad. But then I thought, man, Louisiana...
Like, what is that? Man, we gonna eat good tonight.
I know NBC News has no category for what we're trying to enlighten them on. And again, I do want to say this. If it leads to an arrest, run me my 20 grand because I told you that it's Boudreaux and Thibodeau.
Yes.
I think, you know, I could be totally wrong about this, but I do think, you know, you're probably dealing with some people who are like, you know, we don't have dolphins.
Right. It saw that and it was like, ooh.
Man, you know, it's a swordfish. Like, we about gefilte fish. Like,
anyway, man.
So
wow.
So that's sad.
I didn't know they had dolphins down there that would come to Louisiana. I really didn't know. Anyway,
the Fisheries and Wildlife Department is actively investigating this. Anyway, they you know, performed an autopsy and found multiple bullet wounds.
Wow.
I just, you know, there's a part of me that kind of wonders how they were able to, and maybe I just don't understand the body of water where this dolphin was found, like how they were able, because, you know, Louisiana is not, like, we don't have, like, you know, we're not sandals. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm sorry. I love my former state, right? That's my state of growing up. But we don't have the kind of, we don't... We don't boast of like clear beaches that you can see straight down to the bottom.
It probably was a swamp.
I feel like they were like, man, this is the biggest crawfish I done seen ever. They're like, man, you want to burl it?
Oh.
Like, man, get the Zatarans.
Man.
Look, in Louisiana, I'll say this as we wrap up the Friday News Hall. In Louisiana, and this, you know, for better or for worse. Okay. But in Louisiana, if it can be eaten, we'll eat it. Like, we'll eat it. Like, seriously. It's you know, people can be put off by that. Like, if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, shout out to our listeners in Scotland. Like, so if you're listening to this in Scotland, you're like, really?
Yes.
Yes. If it can be eaten, man, we'll find a way. It's either you fry it. Like, if you can't figure out anything else to do with it. Then you're going to batter it and fry it because that's always going to be okay. Mm. But if you want to, if you're trying to cut back on all of like your, all of your grease consumption, right. You know, you're trying to go the, healthier route.
Which they're not. I mean, it's like.
Because it's a dolphin. If you're trying to go the healthier route, then what you would do is you're going to want to cook that down into like a gravy, bake it.
Sauce piquant.
Start with a nice roux, and then don't let it burn though, because we can taste when there's a roux that. Oh my goodness! Don't do that.
Nasty.
If your house is burning down around you, and you started a roux, a base for a gumbo or a sauce or a gravy, I'm sorry. Okay, you better pray for protection. Do not leave that roux unattended, because your house is ultimately going to be okay. But how are you going to serve that roux that's all dark and burnt? Like, you can't do that. So anyway, is that okay for me? I'm not, look, it's an animal, and I do believe that we have to steward you know, creation 100%. Well, I'm not downplaying that, but at the same time, you know,
Boudreaux and Thibodeau,
I think that's who I would like to report publicly.
I agree
with
that.
It leads to an arrest,
run me my
okay. Make checks payable too. Culture proof. All right. Anyway, that's it. That's all I got. Is there anything that you saw this week that you wanted to throw out to me before we wrap up?
I've seen some things, but it's not, you know, I don't think it's news hall worthy. You know?
They're all serious.
Yeah.
You sent me some articles too. Yeah. We'll save those for,
you know, I guess not to extend the show, but the protest. You know,
we have to talk about
around
that.
The country at these universities. Man,
absolutely. You know, been watching that, been paying attention to that.
Even in New Orleans, our hometown.
Yeah.
You know, I saw some things. I'm like, wow, you know, but I think it points to, you know, just the sentiment in this country that has shifted, you know, and it's more overt, you know, against like Israel and even the United States.
Yeah.
Like within.
Yeah.
And so
it's always been, I feel like it's, no, but I think you're right. And that's actually on my radar to get to next week in some of our podcast episodes. Mm. But I think you're right. I think this is something that's always been simmering beneath the surface. Yeah. I read an article. I actually pulled this article because I want to incorporate it into our discussion when we talk about this next week, Lord willing, that is really, and I was surprised, really pinpointing why this is happening on college campuses. And I think this writer does an incredible job, again, a surprising job, in pointing to why this is happening. But the most recent information out is that you've got obvious paid protesters.
Oh, yeah. It's like
we
the
expect
Antifa,
that.
You know, that.
It's Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah.
It's the BLM marches.
Right.
You know,
it's same it's, people. It's
same
those
people.
Are the same.
Right. And then it's interesting to me that you've got the same language being employed as if, you know, as if the American people are just that dumb. It's like these are peaceful protests. They're
they
like occupying
are.
Buildings. They right. they are terrorizing people and telling people they can't enter.
Like, I saw this morning the police, I guess it was at UCLA. It was in Los Angeles. They are having to go in physically tear down the encampments.
Yes.
And they're, you know, there's
which is dangerous
gas
for them. Yeah.
And everything. You know, it's amazing. It's an amazing sight as you're watching that. You're like, this is America.
Yeah, it's America. And crazy. We'll get into a bit of it next week, Lord willing. But crazy, you ask them about some of the chants that they're chanting. And I've seen this footage.
Here, they don't, like they're chanting
yeah,
that
they
here.
Don't know what, they don't know why they're saying that. They don't know why they're saying from the river to the sea. Like they don't even understand what river, what sea, like and what does that mean in between? They don't know. And so definitely.
We're getting
been
a little serious
that.
Now.
Know,
I'm sorry, I brought us here.
Boudreaux and Thibodeau.
This is News Hall.
Boudreaux and Thibodeau. Okay. Just look for them. And people are like, well, what will they be wearing?
You'll recognize them.
Overalls. Rain boots. What are they called?
It's a chain like the around their neck with a crawfish head.
Stop it. Okay. Not really. All right. When we resist those cultural trends that rival the truth, we remain culture proof. Until next time, Lord willing.
God bless.